privilege of being participatory in this place of praise once again. Father, it's preaching time and we need your power, your presence, your anointing. For your anointing destroys yokes. We're living in a mean world where your word is your surgical scaffold. For your word is as a sword cutting to and from, piercing even the thoughts and dividing even thoughts from intentions. Now, Father, as we stand, we know that you will speak through us and speak to us. More of you, less of us, I decrease so that you will increase. Be with us here in the sanctuary and be with us in our homes. Give us oneness. For you're God who can bridge the gap through your Holy Spirit. Give us oneness, Father, that the world will know that you have sent your Son, Jesus. We pray for the saved to be encouraged, instructed in your word, the lost to be saved. And as always, Father, we know we have an enemy who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We pray for you to cancel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing will hinder your word, work, and worship. Lord, we give you all the glory, the honor, and praise. Clear our minds, clear our hearts, control our tongue, that we might speak your truth, hear your truth, believe on you, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And every heart say amen. What an awesome day it is to be alive, alert, and active, for it is in him we live, move, and have our being. The Lord has blessed us immeasurably. He has blessed us so well that we cannot enumerate the blessings that he has bestowed upon our life. Certainly we thank God for your prayers, and we thank God for your viewing. Those of you that are in Facebook and virtual land, our virtual church, we thank God for those of you who are here that have taken part in this service, and certainly to the choir that has blessed us so in song. Amen. Come on, bless God for them. Amen. They do it faithfully every Sunday. Amen. And I appreciate them. I thank God for these preachers, Reverend Pope, Reverend McCoy, and Reverend Woods. Thank God for their presence and their prayers. Thank God for the deacon brethren and trustees and the different persons that are here. And certainly we thank God for the media ministry who connects us from sanctuary to home or house. And we thank God for you and your hard work, your diligence to make sure the word of God is being preached. I said early in the office that we are in some troublesome times, but God is tougher than our troubles, and he has no respect of period or persons. Therefore, as God was with the people we read about in the Bible, he's with us. And the word says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We're in crazy times, trying times, times of unrest. Just the other day, a little 8-year-old boy got killed at the mall. Right in the midst of a millennial civil rights movement. And we pray for his family. We pray for the community. We pray even for those that have taken part in the shooting, that they will come to know Jesus. Listen, Jesus is the answer. That's why I come. So to this place to preach his word, so that the word can go out, because I'm still convinced that Jesus is the answer. We used to sing about it in the church, that he's the answer for the world today. And I don't know if we still believe it, but I'm convinced of it, that the world needs Jesus. Amen. And y'all know what 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people. Now, he's not talking about unsaved folk. He's talking about folk in the church who are called by his name. Got Christian on the caps and on the hats, on the shirts. Bible told us. Amen. That have confessed in Jesus. He says, if the ones called by his name will humble themselves. That's the first thing now. Because you can't pray prideful. And if you humble yourself, pray, seek his face, turn. You can't be caught up in a whole lot of sin. You know, sometimes people want to hang on to the sins and pursue the Savior at the same time. He says you got to turn that loose. And he says if you turn from your wicked ways, he says then, I like that, then will I hear from heaven and heal the land. So we can't expect the world to come up with the answer. We got it in the church. That if we will align ourselves with God and his word, that he will heal the land. I think if the church get right, the pandemic will be gone. Yeah. I think if the church gets right, a lot of this senseless killing will be gone. Hate and bitterness and envy. I just believe now, if the church gets right, amen, that God will heal the land. He will breathe upon the land and heal the land. Amen. And that's where my faith is, and I believe it. I believe it. Listen, I want you to pray for that family. Pray for our communities. Listen, we are rallying and talking about Black Lives Matter. But Black lives have to matter to us too. Yeah, it doesn't make sense for us to take to the streets and march if when something like this happened, we sit still. We need to march in our own communities and tell our younger people to live. Amen. Y'all may not can say amen, but I know I'm right about it. Live. That Jesus Christ came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Live. Amen. Live. So pray for our communities that they will come to know Christ. Pray for our churches that we will align ourselves with God so that the land can Amen. Listen, this is Communion Sunday, first Sunday, and I pray and hope that you have prepared yourself to take communion by faith as a family, virtually, as we share here, we share with you in your homes. I will give instructions shortly after the preaching, and I will lead us in the sacrament of Holy Communion. This is an important time, a high time for the church, that we can praise God in our partaking of communion for the sacrificial death of Jesus on Calvary. He died in our place for our good. Somebody ought to say amen. In our place for our good. It should have been us. Wouldn't have done any good, but we deserve Calvary. Amen. But Jesus, he who knew no sin, became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, if you can't shout over that, I don't know what else can get you. Amen. That's good news to my ears, that Jesus died in my place for my good. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Verses 46 through 52. We're still preaching about Jesus. And this is Vision 2020. And our hope is that you will see him more clearer and respond to him appropriately as you see him in Scripture. Amen. It is imperative for us to see Jesus. The whole Bible is about Jesus. Old and New Testament about Jesus. And so many people read it and miss Jesus. But don't miss him. Verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sit by the highway side begging. Verse 47. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. In other words, shut up. And he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Verse 50. And he cast away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I want to talk about Jesus gives sight to the blind. Jesus gives sight to the blind. My brothers and sisters, it's no secret what the Lord is able to do. What he has done for others, he's able to do for you. So often we hear the words uttered, saying, but the question is, are we convinced of the ability of Jesus? Jesus came to earth to give sight to the blind, light to a dark world, and set the captive free. For this particular passage is an account of one by the name of Bartimaeus, who received his sight when he came across Jesus as Jesus was leaving Jericho. He was leaving Jericho because he was on his way to Jerusalem, where he would be arrested, falsely accused in 6 courts, where he would be flogged and whipped, beaten, spat upon, beard plucked, crown of thorns placed on his head, made to march the cross up a rugged hill, where he would hang between 2 thieves with mockery over his head, Jesus, King of the Jews. On his way to Calvary, Jesus ran across blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, a blind, anguished, wretched, unhappy, poor, miserable man, begging to survive. He was a man desperately needful. For verse 46 says that Bartimaeus was a public beggar. He sat on the side of the road, side of the highway, begging to survive. A penny, nickel, dime, quarter, dollar, whatever you could spare. Give me your loose change. Something that might not be of very much value to us, but he was asking for something that he felt stood between life and death for himself. A penny, nickel, dime, quarter, a dollar. Give me something so that I could live. The fact that he was sitting on the side of the road begging suggests to me that he could not work for himself. He had to depend on others and their generosity to stay alive. That the fact that he was begging also suggests to me that he could not help himself. Pause, if you will, and think about it. In that day, there were no programs for the blind. No jobs for the blind. No schools for the blind, no leader dogs for the blind, no independent services for the blind, no software for the blind, no welfare program for the blind, no charitable institution for the blind, no talking toolbox for the blind. All Bartimaeus could do is what he did, beg. He was in a predicament that he could not get himself out of. He could not fix himself. He could not fix his situation. He could not deliver himself from blindness. Bartimaeus, in his condition, is a portrait of every person who is outside of Christ and lost in sin. Like Bartimaeus, the lost person is spiritually blind. The lost person is blind to their own condition, blind to their own sin, and blind to the impending eternal doom. Like Bartimaeus, the lost person is a spiritual beggar. They can do nothing and they have nothing within themselves to deliver themselves from their spiritual destitution. The lost sinner simply sits on the highway side of life, sits in a pitiful place and begs as Jesus passes by. I'm here to report, to serve your notice, that only Jesus can open the eyes of the blind. Only Jesus can satisfy the desire of a spiritual beggar. Only Jesus can give sight to the blind. It is, there are three things in the text that we see in Jesus' encounter with Bartimaeus that helps us receive our sight. First of all, notice that Bartimaeus was sensitive in hearing. Verse 47 says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Underscore, if you will, the word heard. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he heard. Akouo in Greek, which means to come to the ear, to be noise, be reported, understand. In other words, it came to the ears of Bartimaeus that Jesus was passing by. Hearing is vitally important because the word of God says, how can you believe in him of whom you have not heard? And how can you hear without a preacher? This crowd that thronged Jesus, following Jesus because Jesus had healed them, had opened their eyes and had unstopped their ears and had delivered their dead from the grave, was following Jesus. And as they were following Jesus, they were making some noise. That's it. You know, the problem of church today is we're too quiet. We don't make enough noise. I mean, think about it. If Jesus has done anything for you, that ought to be some noise. Oh, if you woke up this morning. I said, if you woke up this morning, if you started you on your way, if you put bread on your table, if you put shoes and clothing on your body, there ought to be some noise. If he opened your eyes, if he unstopped your ears, if Jesus has brought you up off of your sick bed, there ought to be some noise. The problem with the church today is we are too quiet. they had received of the power of Jesus. And as Jesus was walking out of Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, they were shouting, praising his name, having a jubilant time with Jesus. That's why I don't understand how you can come to church and sit a whole service and never raise your hand, never elevate your voice, never say a thank you, Jesus, never say hallelujah, because he has done too much for you to be too quiet. As they were walking out of the city of Jericho, they were making some noise. And as they were making noise, this man who was blind by the name of Bartimaeus couldn't see, but he could hear. Lost folk can't see, but they can show hear. Y'all just missed me. They can't see the God of this world. Satan has blinded them, but they can hear. And he heard, and he recognized that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He had heard that it was Jesus. Now, I don't think this is the first time that Bartimaeus had heard anything about Jesus. Oh, I think he had heard about the miracles performed by Jesus prior to his encounter with Jesus. He must have heard about the lepers, the lame, the demon possessed, even the dead Jesus had touched and made whole again. I believe as he sat by the highway, he heard the travelers as they talked one to another about Jesus. And he had heard that conversation. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to talk about it. You can just use your own personal testimony. They were talking one with another. And Bartimaeus, sensitive in his hearing, because it is suggested that when you lose one sense, that it improves or increases the sensitivity of the other senses. So where he couldn't see, he could acutely hear. And as Jesus was passing by with this great crowd, he could hear the people talking about Jesus. When was the last time you left church? In a conversation about Jesus. When was the last time somebody came to know him through your own personal testimony? See, I'm convinced that if he changed me, he can change anybody. Oh, I was a wretch undone. Nobody that he made into somebody that can tell anybody about Jesus, who can save anybody. Are y'all here with me? They were talking. And he recognized that it was Jesus. And through their conversation, he realized what Jesus could do. He realized that Jesus is God of all power. Because of the pursuing crowd. Because the crowd was made up of recipients that had received Jesus' healing power. And through the euphoric, ecstatic celebration of the crowd that followed Jesus, Bartimaeus realized what Jesus could do. all brothers and sisters, we also realize what Jesus can do through the experiences of others. I mean, you don't have to be sick in a hospital to know that he is a doctor. In a sick room. I mean, maybe mama or daddy went to the hospital. And you had the audacity to go down on your knees to pray. And you remember the adage of the old church, just a little talk with the Lord will make it all right. And Jesus stepped in the room and brought mama up off the sick bed, brought daddy up off the sick bed. That wasn't your experience, but through somebody close to you, you can see what he's able to do. Maybe, just maybe, you haven't had your own experience, but you have watched people that have lost their jobs, didn't know how they were going to make it. They were stuck in a rut. But before the bottom fell out, before the situation could consume them, before it was too late, he stepped in on time. Do I have a witness? And you have watched him, and now you know that if he did it for them, he can do it for you. And you know him a little better through somebody else's experiences. He heard them as they were celebrating the Lord. Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus, thank you. Wouldn't have made it, couldn't have made it if it wasn't for you. Thank you, Lord. Didn't have strength in my legs, but you strengthened my legs. Thank you, Lord. I had a withered hand, and you told me to stretch out my hand, and my hand is whole. Thank you, Lord. I was on my way to the cemetery, and you stopped, and I was going to bury my boy, and you touched the casket, and you got him up out of the casket. Thank you, Lord. I didn't have money to buy food to eat, and I was listening to you on the side of a mountain, and I got hungry. And I was about to faint, and you took a boy's lunch and you divided it and you fed everybody. Thank you. Through the conversation, he could hear what Jesus is able to do. And if Jesus did it then for others, he's able to do the same thing for you today. You ought to look at somebody and tell him, if he did it then, he can do it today. Come on, look at somebody in your house and tell him, if he did it then, he can do it today. Come on, point your Baptist finger at somebody. If he did it then, he's able to do it today. Sensitive in his hearing. He was crying. Crying out. And the Lord heard him. Stop Jesus right in his tracks. Because he hears the cry of people of sincerity. Crying out for mercy. Jesus, that son of David, have mercy on me. Stop Jesus right in his tracks. Jesus hushed the crowd. And said, the blind man, tell him I said, come. Tell him I said, come. Now, what I like about the blind man is when he got up, he took some off. See, too many of us are trying to bring too much junk into the presence of Jesus. He He shed the thing that hindered him from experiencing his miracle. Notice the text says there were two things that hindered him. The hindrances were the crowd and the cloak. Public and private hindrances. He says, hush. The crowd said, hush. And the more they told him to hush, the louder and more intense he became. When folks say you ought to sit down somewhere, you don't know. Like I know what the Lord has done for me. If you want to sit down and be quiet, I got to make some noise, because he has brought me from a mighty long ways, and this is my chance to not only be in the house of God, but to receive in the house. It was a public hindrance. The crowd said, hold your peace. The crowd was a public hindrance. Sometimes the people who are around you will hinder you. You're so caught up in what they think, how they feel. Public hindrances. The crowd told him to keep silent. Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. He don't have time for you. Shh. Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. He don't have time for poor beggars. Shh. Man, you messed up. Look at you. You don't even have the right clothing on. Shh. You don't look worth nothing. Life has dealt with you. Shh. And the more they shh, the louder he got. And sometimes you got to shout over folk to get Jesus' attention. There was a public hindrance, but then there was a private hindrance. Verse 50 says, and he cast off his garment, rose up, and came to Jesus. The cloak was his private hindrance. The crowd knew his condition. They saw him as a blind man. They saw his blindness. They could even see his poverty. But they did not see his private hindrance. But notice, he did not allow his public or private hindrance to hinder him from getting to Jesus. That's why, brothers and sisters, when you are in need of a blessing, you need to lay aside every weight and every sin which does so easily beset you. Do I have a witness? But I thank God, as I bid you farewell, that he did not only shed the thing that hindered him from experiencing his miracle. Not only was he sensitive in his hearing, but he was specific in his prayer. He said to Jesus, have mercy on me. He cried out with a loud voice, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And you know, when you pray to God, you need to be specific. Do I have a witness? I don't need just any old kind of blessing, but I need what I need. And so when I go down on the station and I have just a little talk with the Lord, I learn how to be pacific. If you need a job, don't just ask God for any old kind of job. You can't work just any old kind of job. You need to be pacific. And if you need healing in your body, you need to ask him to heal the part of your body where your ailment is. If you need healing in your home, you need to ask him to heal where your ailment is. If you need money to pay your bill, you need to tell the Lord what the amount of your bill is. Thank God. Right. When he got up from the roadside, he went running to Jesus, saying, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus said, I will make you clean. Do I have a witness? He was sick in his body. He didn't have sight in his eye. But Jesus dropped the scales from his eyes. And the text says that after Jesus healed him of his blindness, he didn't go running off in a different direction. But the Bible says that he went running after Jesus. And that's what you ought to do when Jesus pick you up and turn your life around. You ought to go running after Jesus. What Jesus go, you ought to go. What Jesus say, you ought to say. Do I have a witness? He went running after Jesus. He followed Jesus to Jerusalem. I just believe in my sanctified imagination that this was one of the men who took palm branches and said, Hosanna, Hosanna, praise be to the name of God. And as Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, this blind man that had been healed was following after Jesus, singing a song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, I 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 was blind. That ought to be all of our testimony. I was blind, I couldn't see it right. I was blind, the devil had my sight, but I thank God that I'm not blind now. I can see. You ought to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I can see, I can see, I can see, yeah, I can see, yeah, I can see, I can see the sun, the S-O-N, I can see the sun, how he healing others. I can see the sun as he's hanging on the cross. I can see the sun as he's giving up his right for his fellow man wrong. I can see the sun drop his head in the locks of his shoulder and give up the ghost. He died, didn't he die? But that's not the end of the story. Early, early, early Sunday morning, before the rooster could crow. Early Sunday morning, before the women made it to the tomb. Early Sunday morning, before the dew could fall on the ground. Early Sunday morning, before the S-U-N could get up, he got up with all power, heaven and earth in his hand. Let me ask you one question this morning. Ain't he all right? Let me hear say yeah. I can see. I can see. Look at somebody and tell them, I can see. I feel all right because I can see. And now that I can see, I'm going to stay with Jesus. I'm going to stick with Jesus because can't nobody do me like Jesus. He'll make you run. Nobody behind. He'll make you laugh. It ain't nothing funny. He'll make you cry. It ain't nothing wrong with you. Can I ask you one more time? Ain't he alright? See ya! Yeah! Yeah! The doors stand ajar. Every lost person, unsaved person, is betrayed in Bartimaeus. You may not be able to see, but you can hear. And as the church makes noise, you can hear. You can hear to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is one with God and he's mediator between God and man. And if he did it for others, he's able to do it for you because he has no respect to period or persons. Trust him. Believe in him. And what he did for Bartimaeus, he will do for you. As he had done for all of us. We were blind. We were going from club to club. Party to party. For some, partner to partner. Loss. Conversation corrupt. Thinking so ungodly. It was because our minds were distorted. We couldn't see. The S-O-N. But Jesus came along the side of the way when we were sitting on the side of the road. And as the people followed, they were having conversations about the goodness of the Lord, and we wanted to know his goodness. We wanted to experience his grace. So we were sensitive in our hearing. I want to know Jesus like they know him. Or better than they know him. And because we heard of him, we took off the things that hindered us. We laid aside sin and weights. I really pity folks that's in church just trying to live life in Christ and in the world. That's too weighty. He told us to come unto him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The burden is bearable. But when you're trying to live in Christ and in the world, in church and in the world, that's too weighty. You got to give it up. Take it off. Lay it aside so it doesn't trip you. It doesn't hinder you. That's what Bartimaeus did. And when he got to Jesus, he was specific in his plea for mercy. He didn't just ask for any old kind of blessing. He says, Lord, I need to see. And Jesus gave him his sight. And catch this. He didn't receive his sight and go in a different direction. But he followed Jesus. So many people receive the blessings of God and they abandon God. Lord, if you do this time, I promise you I'll, you know, go to church. If you do this, I promise you that I'll get back in the choir. I'll get back on the usher ministry and back on the mother's ministry. I'll get back to the ministries that I was a part of. I'll go back to teaching Sunday school or being a Sunday school student. And as soon as things change, they go in the different direction. But listen, the Bible says if you do that, then a worse thing will come upon you. Come here, woman, they caught in adultery. After Jesus exonerated her, he says, go. Sin no more unless a worse saying come upon you. Do as this man did. Follow Jesus all the way. That's what the song says. I decided to follow Jesus. That's it. Listen, if you're listening to me today through the virtual system, you can be saved. If you just put your faith and hope in Jesus. He said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open, I will come unto him and sup with him and he with me. Receive him today, if you will, by simply believing in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, sent from God to die on the cross of Calvary in your place for your good. And you're able to confess that with your mouth. The Bible says thou shalt be saved. Secondly, if you are listening to me and you need to be restored, I believe in the restoring power of God. Life is difficult and hard, especially in this season. Time of pandemic. And sometimes it drains our spiritual battery. But the Lord says, I can restore. I can restore. I can restore. If you would only come to me, I will revive. I will restore. I will reveal, refocus, re-energize you. Seek the Lord intensely and intentionally, and he will restore you. Thirdly, if you're in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Baptist Church on your heart to be a part of and for us to be your spiritual parent, to nurture you and to teach you and to share with you the word of God, please write us and we'll be diligent to write you back to share with you our excitement and enthusiasm for you being led of God to be a part of our family. Thank you today, and as we prepare our hearts for our Holy Communion, listen as they sing. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And if you're in your homes, please sit together as a family. Praise God.
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 Come on, praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Come on, praise God.
Praise God.
First Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let every man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. And he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, we thank you again for the power of your word. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of fellowship of family. We pray, Father, as we bow our heads and humble our hearts, that you will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess our sins to you, Lord, because we want to be right. We want to do it right. We want to honor you. For Lord, as we come together as a family, spiritually, Lord, physically and virtually, we know, oh Father, that you're with us, because you said wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, you are in the midst. So Father, we call on you, because Father, we hadn't done all things right. So Father, forgive us. Sin of omission, sin of commission, sins of our head, hands, and head. forgive us of all our sins, both intentional and unintentional. Bless us with oneness.